What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sheehan Show here on Sherdog.com. My name is Sean Sheehan, and I'm here today with a preview for the second PFL installment of the 2024 season. It's going down here on April 12th over in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we have the lightweights and light heavyweights on deck here. And you know, these might be the two best divisions that PFL have on offer this year. I spoke last week in the preview about how I suppose they've gone to the next level because of what has happened with the I called it a merger last week, I think, but I think Peter Murray corrected me and called it an acquisition of Bellator. But still, in all, the two rosters have definitely merged, and you know, there's no doubt about it. They have made the PFL tournaments or the season, as they like to call it, a lot stronger, and that's very, very evident with the card coming up this weekend, but also the two roster pages for these two weight classes. And as always, let's start off with that, and let's have a quick look at both of them. So let's start with the lightweights. And just on the PFL website, to name them out. So Adam Piccolotti, 14-5. Bryn Primus, 12-3-1, no contest, coming over, obviously, from Bellator with Piccolotti. Bruno Miranda, who we've obviously seen for a long time in PFL, 16-4. Clay Collard, who we've seen for a long time. Elvin Espinoza, Gadzi Rabizabov. Then we have JJ Wilson, who has, I believe, been in broad promotions, if I'm not mistaken. Mads Burnell, who's, you know, if you'd heard of Mads Burnell going into PFL tournament a few years ago, I think a lot of people would have been excited, and I think it might suit him. Michael Dufort, Patricky Pitbull, and Solomon Rinfro as well. So we'll talk more about all of them, obviously, here in a second. Let's look at the light heavyweight bracket. And I'm honestly very, very excited about this. So we have Alex Palizzi, who was in the top five up until last year in Bellator. We have Antonio Carlos Jr. is coming back to former champ. Dalton Yashimuradov, Impa Kasanganai, the champ from last year. Jacob Indo, the European champ. We have Joshua Silveira, who got to the final last year. Phil Davis, who is actually out of this weekend's card, and I suppose we'll see if he is, we'll see if he will take part or not, but for now he's still in it. Robert Wilkinson, Sadibou C, the former champion at welterweight, who's moving up two divisions to light heavyweight. Simon Biong, who's a very good prospect, who's been fighting kind of on the European scene in other places for a while. And then Tom Breeze, the kind of the wild card of it all. And let's start with Tom Breeze here, because he is now in the main event of this upcoming weekend, due to the fact that Phil Davis is out injured, and Tom Breeze will now take on Rob Wilkinson in what might be the fight of 2024 on paper, for me anyway. And some people might say a few other ones, and you know, I think when we get to the playoffs and the finals, that it might be used up. But for me, and you know what, I haven't looked too far ahead to possible matchups either, because I kind of like doing it week by week, but I love this fight. I really, really, really love this fight. Like, Tom Breeze is a guy that, like, okay, I'm obviously here in Ireland, but obviously cover the Irish, UK, European scene an awful lot, and I've always viewed Tom Breeze as a guy who has, I don't know if this is what we were saying, but maybe underachieved. You know, I think it's no secret that Tom has kind of had, you know, issues backstage, and kind of, you know, with the mentality and with nerves and stuff like that coming into fights, and, you know, had to pull out of fights, and a large reason why he was, you know, no longer in the UFC. But it seems like he's kind of turned that around in the last while. And I'm sure it's an ongoing process, but if you think about it, since 2021, I remember when he went out of the UFC, in 2021, he didn't look himself in that Amari Akhmadov fight. Funnily enough, we've seen Amari Akhmadov in PFL and looking very good in PFL since that too. But, you know, he's lost before, and he's, you know, it was a genuine loss, but he just did not look himself in that. But when he got out there, he went to LFL, did so well there, got a couple of finishes, then was in KSW. I think he went 2-1, 3-1 in KSW, but, you know, lost to the champion at middleweight, Pawlak, who's, you know, no joke losing to him, but fought Damian Janikowski, went back to LFL, and then fought, obviously, in the PFL last year in a qualifying matchup to get into this tournament, and he won that pretty easily. But all of those fights that I mentioned there, all finishes. Every single one of them finishes. So it looks like Tom Breese has kind of let the reins off. And like, if you look at that as well, 4 fights in 2022, 3 fights in 2023. That's it. When you think about sometimes, you know, you talk about lads like leaving. We were even talking about maybe Reese McKee last week, you know, or maybe, you know, if the UFC time is up, go and do this. Go and do what Tom Breeze did. Go out and, you know, he's okay, he took a loss, but he's 6-1 since 2022. That's an unbelievable run. And that's what Tom Breeze is. That's the real Tom Breeze. He's a finisher. Like, I will never forget being at that Cathal Pindrod fight where, you know, Cathal Pindrod is, you know, as much as people kind of think back in golf the way they do, he was a tough guy. There was no doubt about that. And Tom Breeze just put him to the sword, really. Like, he really did. And that's how I always view Tom Breeze, an absolute monster. And he has been over the last couple of years as well. And that's what makes me so excited about this, because Rob Wilkinson, he has been very much the same. Look, his last loss was to Israel Adesanya out of the UFC as well. And he's gone on a great run since. At the same time, you know, absolutely running through PFL, winning the championship. Obviously, you know, last year everyone went to Nevada and the whole fucking crew popped. And he's just the latest of them. I think there were so many of them that, you know, a lot of them lads just kind of were like, well, what happened? There's something weird happened there. I don't think anyone kind of got like, oh, you know, the drug cheat label or anything on him. So he's very much turned around without any, you know, bells or whistles or anything like that, as have most of those guys, to be fair. And, you know, from my point of view, why not either? So I'm very much looking forward to this fight. How is the fight going to go, I suppose, would be the next question. And that's a very, very hard question to answer, I suppose. We have the options we have here, if you want to call them that, are, I think, not that varied. Like, I think if this fight stays on the feet, either guy could win it. And if it goes to the ground, I think it's who gets the most advantageous position on the ground who I suppose will end up winning it. I think, look, Breeze is obviously unbelievably good on the ground, but we've seen from Wilkinson over the last while, you know, fighting with a guy like Akhmedov and others as well, who are also very good on the ground, he can absolutely not only get through it against guys like them, but win, you know, relatively comprehensively against guys like them. So I think this is going to, I really don't know that. And the odds aren't out for it yet. I was just looking them up there in the background. The odds aren't out for it yet. So we'll obviously talk about that in the betting show coming up to this one. But I feel like if Tom Breeze can get that dominant position, can get him on the ground, can open up with those strikes and the feet, and, you know, be, we'll finish on Tom first. Be more, aggressive is the wrong word, but smooth, I think. A smooth aggression is what Tom Breeze needs. I think what happens to Breeze sometimes, and a few of his losses, including the Pawlak one, he kind of meets guys, and, you know, Wilkinson can fight this way, no doubt about it, who are kind of staunch, juggernaut-type fighters who will keep that jab out there and be very good technical fighters. And it almost, you know, sometimes can outweigh his athleticism, speed, and his technique. Sometimes that does happen. And I think that's the way Wilkinson needs to fight, plus use the size. Like, you know, Wilkinson is 6'3". Tom Breeze, he's actually 6'3" as well, but Breeze has fought down at, you know, welterweight and others, and I know Wilkinson has fought down as well a bit, but I think Wilkinson is the naturally kind of bigger man. I think he'll need to use that, but all in all, I think it's a very even fight. I think both of them can hurt each other on the feet. I think both of them can win on the ground if needs be, and I'm very, 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 very excited about it. I'm gonna go with Rob Wilkinson as my pick, but if this comes out and Tom Breeze is plus 250 or something like that, I don't know when my betting pick necessarily be that, but a very fun and very good fight to kick us off on the or to end even day two of the PFL opening season. The co-main event, similarly, very, very attractive fight. And you know, it's funny as well, like, so you've Wilkinson PFL and Breeze, who, okay, he did fight once in the PFL, but he's maybe not viewed as, he wasn't in the season last year or anything like that. So it's a brand new matchup. Kasangana, obviously, in the PFL, and now he's fighting Alex Parisi from Bellator. Clay Collar, PFL, Patricky Fajea from Bellator. So they're all new, fresh matchups. I love that. I really, really like that. And hopefully that's a thing that keeps happening over the next few years. But let's talk about Kasanganai and Parisi. Let's look at just Parisi first. 32 years of age, 10-3. Now, you know, four fights going to decision, split evenly between wins and losses. And all the rest are finishes. So 80% finishing rate on his side. Hasn't been in the greatest run of it over the last couple. Obviously lost to Carl Moore, who fought for the title there only a couple of weeks ago, and lost to Yoel Romero before that. But prior to that, he was on an absolutely fantastic run. What was he? 10-1 in his career, only losing to Julius Angliscus, who fought for the title soon after that as well, beating, you know, the likes of Grant Neal, Rafael Carvalho, and others as well. Jamal Pogues, who we've seen in the UFC. And, you know, he is, as the four knockouts, four submissions would suggest, well-rounded fighter, can kind of do it all. He's one of those lads who isn't maybe a standout necessarily in any area, but he's good in all areas and will cause you trouble if you have problems in any areas. And I suppose you could nearly say the same about Kasanganai, but to a higher degree. I think, you know, me, myself, I've learned about him over the last year or so. He has had so many fights in the last year. So we're, what are we, January, February, March, April. So in the last 13 months, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This will be his 7th fight. That is a whole load of fights, but he's done a whole load of learning and a whole load of improving also in that time. And he's become such a good, well-rounded fighter. It was funny, you know, I was watching the Jackie and Buckley fight last week in the UFC and thinking to myself, okay, that knockout will go down in history. In my opinion, it's the greatest knockout of all time. But I love it. I talking to Liz Carmouche as well, and obviously her fight with Ronda will go down as one of the most historic of all time. But it's great for the people, say, on the losing ends of those to also have their thing. Look, for Kasanganai to become the champion in a PFL, for the Bellator champion to become Liz Carmouche, let's put it that way, is just fantastic. I love when that, like when Bisping won the title, it was great. He's not remembered as the nearly guy. I love when that those sort of things happen. And I think for Kasanganai, that has happened. And now, where does his career go from here? Obviously, he lost to Johnny Eblen, a very close split decision. He absolutely could have won that fight, and that was only 2 months ago. So he's coming back in here very, very quickly after that. How's that going to affect him? Who knows? Look, last year, as the people who watch these previews know, I had a very tumultuous relationship with him because I didn't always pick him and I was always wrong. So I'm definitely picking him for this fight. I do think he is. I just think he's a better version of Alex Parisi. Two well-rounded, good guys, good athletes, both of them. But I think in all areas, I think a better technical striker, better on the ground, is Kasanganai. Now, anyway, like I didn't always necessarily believe that, but I think so now, as I smack myself in the face with my microphone. These things happen in MMA. I really like and really, admire the game of Impa Kasanganai. I think he'll get inside on Parisi. I think, you know, sometimes Parisi fights, and obviously watch a lot of him coming into the Carl Moore fight when he's fighting, obviously, the Ireland's own Carl Moore. He's very good at kind of luring you into, I'll follow you around the cage, land one or two shots, follow you around the cage, land one or two shots. Whereas a guy like Kasanganai is better when his work is clean. You know, he's fighting from either getting inside and fighting with you on the inside and continuing to fight that way, or fighting on the outside, throwing those big high kicks, or wrestling or whatever, but a constant kind of stream of fighting in an area. Whereas Polizzi is kind of like, as I said, follow you around, hit you there, follow you around, hit you there. I think that's always his way of winning fights. I think if Kasanga and I can avoid that, I think he'll be fine. And I think he should be a big favourite here. And I do think he will win that fight. Next one, let's get to Clay Collard versus Patricky. This is such an interesting fight. I really, really, really like it. Look, both of these lads, I suppose, have been the nearly men in their promotions over the last while. You know, Collard has shocked some people last year, beat Shane Burgos and beat Stevie Ray and Ishikawa as well before losing to Aubin Mercy. And obviously, he was in the PFL versus Bellator card, lost to AJ McKee there via armbar. But, like, look, before that, he's beaten Jeremy Stevens, beaten Anthony Pettis, and lost to the likes of Derek Minor, Houshman Feu along the way, but inside and outside of the PFL. And he's been over boxing. He was in the UFC, you know, fought Max Holloway back in 2014. He's been there, you know, he's been around for an awful, awful, awful long time. And so has Patricky. Like, 37 fights deep in his career now. All the way back in 2025, he made his debut, fought the likes of Michael Chandler and Ryan Couture and Derek Anderson and Roger Huerta, Ryan Scope, Peter Queeley a couple of times, Usman Nurmagomedov, and most recently Alexander Shibley, obviously back in November of last year. But you know, he won the title against Queeley here in Dublin, and not here in Dublin, but over there. I'm not in Dublin, baby. That's a game later. But like, it's maybe a little bit unfair to call him a carbon copy of his brother, but he does fight like his brother, you know, with that middle of the cage stance, good takedown defense. You know, not as athletic, not as strong, not as powerful as his brother, but 17 knockouts in his career shows that he is powerful and he can knock you out. And if he hits you, you'll absolutely stay hit. No, he's lost 12 times, but 8 of those have been by a decision. So he's not an easy guy to get out of there at all. And you know, when Clay Collard at the other side of it, then again, a guy who's become well rounded. You know, you look at a guy coming over from boxing after obviously having been in MMA, you're going to think it's all, boxing with him, but it's not. You know, he can fight on the ground as well. He's only 3 submissions, but he's very much well able to fight on the ground and well able to submit someone if it needs to get there. But I think this will be a boxing match. I think, like, Clay Collard is one of the best fighters at actually taking strikers out of their game and putting them into his game, where he lands his jabs, you know, lovely jabs to the body. He's long and tries to get his power going. Not always 100% decisive at that or winning in that endeavor, but in terms of the second part, in terms of landing the big shots, but he's always good at getting people into his game. Now, I think Patricky will be happy enough actually to get into his game So, if Collard is there, and we saw this a little bit, let me just scroll down here and see which fight it was. It was the Aubin Mercia fight, I think. And actually, a little bit in the Alex Martinez fight as well, although that was a split decision. I think a lot of people thought, maybe, I think myself included even, he should have won that fight. But if you kind of get into the match where Clay Collard's jabbing and, you know, running around you and attacking more with his strikes, there is an ability, if you have it, or an opening, let's say, if you have the ability to counter him and to land those shots inside like Aubin Mercier did. And, you know, obviously AJ McKee was over a bit quickly, but I think Patricky has that ability. I'm very torn on this one. The biggest issue I think with this one is, where are both of them in their careers? Like, Clay Collard's still only 31, we forget that, and Patricky is now 38. It felt like, you know, after he lost to Nurmagomedov after beating Queeley, then he lost to Shabli again, it just felt a little bit like, okay, is this kind of the end of Patricky at this sort of level? Because, like, let's be real, he's probably not getting back to that title anytime soon. But he's in, maybe this is a new lease on life for him. Let's see. I wonder as well, here's another thing. I wonder what the tactics will be like for, you know, the fact that they'll be fighting another few weeks again, and maybe another few weeks again, this is the seasonal tournament format. I think that's a big question coming into this and may have an effect on some of these fights as well. With that said, Collard doesn't fight that way. He fights his own way. I'm going to pick Collard, but I absolutely do see openings for Patricky to possibly win to possibly win this fight. So looking forward to that one. I lost. Did I get my picks for the first two? I'm going with Kasanganai and Wilkinson in those. Right, the next fight, Mads Brunell, we mentioned it. He's fighting Michael Duford, who I didn't know a whole lot about coming into this, but coming out of Canada, 30 years of age, you know, this is his first opportunity. He won fight in PFL, actually, in the Challenger Series back in 2022, but, you know, he's been around that CFFC, TKO, I suppose, spot for the last while, and a guy with a lot of finishes, you know, 9 submissions on his record, and watching bits and pieces of him, he does look very good on the ground. The problem is here, he's coming in against one of the best guys in the world on the ground, in Mads Brunell, who, you know, half his wins have been by submission, but I don't think that's the full... you know, it doesn't tell the full story. If the fight goes to the ground, Duford's going to be in big trouble, I think, against a guy like Brunell. And still only 30, Brunell. It's funny to think, like, he's the same age. One guy's an up-and-comer, one guy's been around for a long time. But Brunell has won his last two fights. I was at one of them against Daniel Weichel. You know, not the best fights in the world. And, you know, he's two before that as well. He's gone to 5 decisions now in a row, which is a bit unlike him. And I remember I asked him in a... we would have been a pre-fight scrum before his last fight, kind of about that and about finishing MMA and all. And he was like, yeah, people, you know, and there needs to be more of that, you know. And I feel like he's going to go for it here, and I feel like he's the sort of guy as well that will think about the seasonal format, will think about, look, I need to get in here and get out. I could see this fight going to the ground. I could see both of them kind of putting their jiu-jitsu up against each other, and I think Brunell will win. That's a Brunell by submission is the pick in this one here. Fight I'm very interested in, Sadibou C against Joshua Silveira. A fight, you know, it's funny. I said the opposing promotions are where we usually get the fresh matchups. This two lads who've been in the same promotion, but it's very much a fresh matchup because one's a welterweight for a long while and one's a light heavyweight. Obviously, Sadibou C, 37 years of age now. Lost to Magomed Kerimov last year, but won in 2022. Beating the likes of Rory McDonald, Nicole Al-Sachin, Danilo Taylor, Jarrell Salawi, and many more as well. You know, even a few years ago, he'd beaten Kyle Magalhaes and David Michaud, and like he's been around fighting for a good while. As I said, 37 years of age. You know, he always looked like a big welterweight, and I'm thinking maybe he could go to middleweight, and you know, maybe him versus a Johnny Eblen or something, but to go to light heavyweight is very, very very interesting move, and let's see how it'll go. Joshua Silveira, obviously the son of Conan Silveira. I picked him to win last year against Ibex Zang, and I think I did anyway. He obviously didn't win that fight, but he won his 3 fights before that after getting in short notice the year before and getting to the finale and losing to the aforementioned Omari Akhmedov. It comes all full circle here. But, you know, beating Dylan Montes MK, Ty Flores last year, maybe not the greatest competition in the world, but still he got to the finale, win all 5 rounds with Impa Kasanganai, who was, you know, devastatingly good on that night. I think that fight will show C how to win this one. You kind of stay away from Coninha, I think it's his nickname now. You keep it at distance, you don't allow him to take you down, and his striking is good at times, but it's not good enough against a guy, say, like Kasanganai, who's a very good striker, RC as well, who I think has improved an awful lot. What Silveira is very good at is taking you to the ground and submitting you or beating you on the ground. Absolutely fantastic on the ground. Now, if he can close that distance, he should have a bit of a strength advantage, obviously a size advantage as well. I believe he's shorter than C. Is that correct? He is shorter than C by 2 inches. It's a funny one because I've talked about Josh Silveira being a future champion, and being one of the best up-and-comers in that division, no doubt. But I think I'm picking Salibusi here. I think he's going to be able to stop the takedown, and I think he's going to be too good on the outside. I think the 3 rounds is a massive help for him as well. I don't know, you know, 5 rounds wouldn't be too much of an issue either, I think. But there must be a reason Salibusi is moving up this far. He probably knows himself, so I'm going to give him the pick there. Shoefest is coming back as well. Antonio Carlos Jr. against Simon Byung. Cara de Zapata, 34 years of age now. You know, he's won his last, what, 5-6 fights in a row. Obviously hasn't fought since 2022, picked up the injury, and whatever else happened over the last couple of years. Simon Byung, I've watched him fight many times. Obviously fighting on the European scene for Bellator. Like, when you beat Luke Trainer, you know you're a very good fighter. You know, he won his next fight after that and ended up losing to you know, not the most highly touted Jose Augusto in May of last year. But like, he is very, very good, well rounded, hits like an absolute truck, 7 knockouts in 9 wins. And you know, if Antonio Carlos Jr. is a bit rusty or a bit of ring rust on him or whatever, could be a big issue. Now, he's only been knocked out once in his career, you know, and known kind of tough guy. You know, that was back in 2016 against Dan Kelly, the old legend. But I think this all comes down to how Antonio Carlos Jr. is looking at this stage of his career. Like, I think he looked fantastic into 2021 and 2022, but in 2024, how is he going to look? I think if he can get the fight to the ground, Simon Byung might have a bit of trouble there. Obviously, he got submitted a couple of fights ago. I don't know, it's further back than that, but in 2018, you'd have to favour Antonio Carlos Jr., but Byung is a big underdog. I think there's definitely a chance there, and maybe a flyer this one would be the Byung knockout, but we'll see on that. One very interesting fight that'll probably fly under the radar here is Daltizan Yashimuradov against Jacob Endo, the champion from Europe last year, knocked out in devastating fashion Simone Powell, who everyone thought he was the guy, you know, he was going to win it, but very much didn't, and I was there for that, and it was an unbelievable knockout. It's such an interesting fight because he's still only young in his career, but he's beaten some good guys, and you know that 8-1 record is really, you know, he lost a fight in 2014, didn't fight again till 2017, and then till 2019. You know, that was really 5 years before he's, you know, if he even started fighting MMA, he's really undefeated and has finished everyone. You know, 8 wins, 8 finishes, and he's an absolute beast of a fighter, very aggressive, head down and throws, rushes you into the clinch, big knees inside, big takedowns, aggressive on the floor, and, you know, a very good jab as well when he takes his time. Yashimuradov on the other side of it then, he's a guy who does get taken down, he's good at landing counters, but sometimes, like against Corey Anderson, that kind of hurt him. You know, he'd land a counter, he'd kind of look at it and then go, oh, well, you're getting taken down, you're in the pocket, you're getting hit. He throws a wheel kicks, he hits hard himself as well, but maybe not the best cardio in the world. Very interested again to see the betting odds in this. I'm definitely going for Jacob Endo. As I said, we are basically undefeated. Yashimuradov, though, has made a great comeback since losing to Anderson and Albrechtsen. You know, he'd beaten Rafael Carvalho, beaten Julius Angliscus, and beaten Magic Rosansky as well, a guy who I think is underrated probably with a lot of people. So I'm going to go for Indo on that one, but Yashimuradov is absolutely not without his chance here. Right, let's run through some of the other fights here. The next 3 lightweight fights are very, like, they're interesting. Bruno Miranda against Brent Primus, first of all, Brent Primus is around for such a long time, 38 years of age now. Obviously, he had that no contest against Usman Magomedov last time before beating Barnoui. So, like, he beat Barnoui last year. His opponent, Miranda, look, we saw what he was able to do against Alex Martinez last year. Obviously, lost to Aubameyang Mercier, who, you know, everyone loses to. But he was on a great run before that. A guy who, you know, hits very hard. Is 11 finishes in his 16. Well, Brent Primus is a guy who, you know, he doesn't get finished at all. He's been finished once in his whole career, and that was against Alexander Shibley, who, you know, might be the best lightweight in the world, or right up there anyway. Again, a tough one to call. You'd have to probably favor Primus based on history, but again, a guy, Primus is the type of guy, right? He's been fighting for so long, but hasn't fought very often, that I think when it ends for him, it'll end very quickly. And could that this weekend be the night? It very much could. Gadzi Radzibov, then, a guy who's threatened, I suppose, to kind of go to that next level over the last while. You know, he's beaten JJ Wilson, who's in this. He's won his last, what, six in a row and won, I think it was like, how many? Six in a row again before that. So 12-1 in his last 13, fighting in the likes of FNG and other places. He's a, you know, he's an absolute monster. A lot of decisions in that though, but he's dominant on the ground and stand up as well. Solomon Renfro, I had the pleasure of watching a bit of him in PFL last year. You know, he was good and bad, if we're being honest. He was to be fair, like, he knocked out Al Salawi and he gave a good account of himself against Magomed Kerimov. No, a lot of people don't, but, you know, he was in, obviously, chance in the Contender Series, and he fought in LFA against Adam Fugit as well, who we've seen in the UFC since. He's yet to have kind of that big win on his career. Will it be in this one? I don't think so. I think, you know, I remember watching the first time I watched him, I was thinking, like, this guy, there's just something a little bit missing. At 27 years of age, you'd want to be finding, like let's say someone like a Paddy Pimbler, right? Okay, not the best fighter in the world, but he has very good jiu-jitsu. You know, he can finish you there. You look at someone, say like a McGregor on the way up, the power, you know. You look at Radzibov, it's like, just very well-rounded. You know, and dominantly well-rounded. I don't know, does Renfro have that? Like, 11 wins, only 4 knockouts, only 1 submission. I think against a guy like that, Radzibov is just, he's a better well-rounded fighter, if you want to put it that way. So I'm going to go for Radzibov in that one. JJ Wilson's fighting Adam Piccolotti in the lightweight division as well. Look, JJ Wilson is a guy 10-1 in his career. Actually, I said before, JJ Wilson, who's the fighter I'm thinking of? There's one fight, I can't remember, JJ something. He has fought in Bellator and PFL, and I always see him in all of these cards. Anyway, he fought in that Eagle FC card as well. What's his name? Not JJ Wilson, I don't know, I can't think of his name. But anyway, these two lads stack up well against each other. Like, when I was watching a bit of a Piccolotti coming into, what fight was it? Maybe the Benson Henderson fight or one of those fights over the last few years. I think this guy is so good. Like, he beat Georgie Carcanyon. He's beat Manuel Naldo last year. You know, he's a finisher as well. Lots of submissions on his record. Whereas Wilson, I think, you know, he lost to Radzibov, and that's how good Radzibov is, and beat Tokov and Barnaby since then. But lots of people were talking about him maybe, you know, after that Carvalho fight, going on and being the champion in that division. And, you know, the loss to Radzibov held him up. But this is kind of like the number 5 and 6 in the division fighting for their place. And one will go on and one won't. Now, JJ Wilson's still only young, 26 years of age. Piccolotti a little bit older at 35. I'm going to pick JJ Wilson to win this one, but not exactly with the whole most of a surety there in picking that one. So there you go. There's a showcase fight on this as well. Marcelo Nunes against Giacomi Lemos in the heavyweight division. We'll see how that one gets on. 10-2 against 8-0, I believe. Is that correct? Let me just look here if I can find it. Yes, it is. Lemos coming out of Brazil. This is his, he was on the Challenger Series last year, so his second appearance over there. And, you know, obviously is a lot of knockouts, a lot of ground and pound, and a few submissions thrown in there as well. There's Marcelo Nunes, you know, a guy who has had a few opportunities now in PFL, fought Maurice Green last year and beat Danilo Marquez and Potter. He was supposed to fight Hinnan Fahey, obviously, and that fight didn't happen, so a big opportunity for him here as well on that one. All right, that is it for me. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Was there any fight? I feel like I missed the fight there in the middle of that summer. No, I don't think I did. So yeah, that is it. I appreciate everybody tuning in. The season is off to a very good start, and hopefully it'll continue that way. I leave it there. My name is Sean Sheehan for SharkDog.com, and I'll see you all next time.